Hi, this is Ed Phillips, filling in for Moshe Moskowitz. You're listening to Live from Mount Sinai. I have a special guest on the show today. Thanks for coming on the show, Carl.
Yeah.
Okay. Today we're going to talk about a summer camp for emotionally disturbed children called Camp Wadiko. I went to Camp Wadiko when I was 15 years old. That was almost 25 years ago. While at the camp, I was physically assaulted and manhandled by a staff member on two occasions for complaining. A few years ago, I wrote an essay that I published on my website where I talked about some of the abuses that went on at Wadiko. Kyle came across the essay and told me that he was also a camper at Wadiko and that Wadiko had not changed. Now, I'm gonna ask you a few things about your experiences with Wadiko, Kyle. But before I do that, I just wanna run something by you. I went to the Wadiko website, wadiko.org,
yep.
And I came across like these. This is thing. I don't know if you've seen it. It's like they have these awards that Wadiko received.
Yeah.
One of them was. This thing by, I'll read some of it, by Mayor Menino. It's like this award. It says, since 1934, Wadiko Children's Services has been providing a caring, nurturing, and educational environment to help children in distress, blah, blah, blah. And it goes on to say, I, Thomas M. Menino, Mayor of Boston, do hereby invite all the people of Boston to join with me in proclaiming June 20th, 1994, as Wadiko Children's Services Appreciation Day. Okay?
Yeah.
Also, the Massachusetts House of Representatives, you know, also made this resolution, this official resolution, congratulating Wadiko for 60 years of service, you know, to children and families of the Commonwealth. I want to know what, you know, if you think that Wadiko is deserving of these awards.
No, not really, because I think it's totally wrong on what they do. Personally, I had the experience of both the summer program and the winter program, and no matter what, it was the same way. They manhandle the kids. It's just, it's not right. The way they totally take care of their aspects of doing what they have to do, it just doesn't work right. They think they're helping the kids, and really they're making them more emotionally disturbed by doing the things they do. They make the kids do all kinds of stuff that's just not right. And then they train them doing the wrong things, you know, and I think it's just wrong.
What kinds of things do you think are not right that they make the kids do?
Like the restraints and stuff like they do. They restrain the kids for, like, the stupidest, dumbest stuff. Like,
yeah.
If you ran off because you were frustrated at the staff members, you got pretty much grounded. You got put in the OC, the Opportunity Center. What's that? It's a big white room with a wooden bed.
They didn't have that when I was there.
The OC was actually the winter program thing. They had it downstairs of one of the dormitories, but after I came there, it got moved to an entire different building, which it was just a cement basement with white overlay, plastic stuff over the cement, and then they had, the windows were pretty much locked, a plywood bed thing with, like, a wicked thin, like, eighth of an inch padded thing. It was nasty.
Hold on. So you're saying people would sleep in this?
Yes. If they were bad and they weren't able to go back to the dormitory because they wouldn't do what the staff members told them, yeah, they'd send them there. And if you didn't do what they told you, you'd sleep there for the night.
And you have to stay there alone.
Not necessarily alone. The staff member would be out in the hall, but you'd have to stay in that room by yourself.
Yeah. It's
lights on and everything.
Yeah.
It's all night.
It sounds
or
like,
all day, or, you know.
Yeah. You're saying the lights are on at night?
Oh, yeah, they do everything. It's pretty much, I don't know how to explain it. It's weird, you know. It's nothing I've ever really noticed that people should have done, you know. It's not right.
Yeah, well, I just want to tell my listeners, like, you know, Wadiko is like the weirdest place you've ever seen. You know, I've studied, like, really bizarre and weird cultural rituals in college, and nothing, perhaps like ritualistic cannibalism, but nothing comes close to this. If you, you know, they have like this main strip in Wadiko, this main road. If you walk down there at like any time during the day, okay, you're likely to see at least one camper being restrained.
Yeah, during the summer, because there's so many. During the winter,
yeah. It's
pretty much the same way in the dormitories.
Yeah. But tell me more about the winter program, because I'm not familiar
with it.
I was just there during the summer.
Yeah, if you go in during the summer, there's a bunch of different different cabins, you know, and that's where you'd stay during the summer. But where the staff members stay during the summer is where you live during the winter. And they have their own place down in the back of the area and everything, but when you're there, I'd say like 12 different people in the dorm.
Where is the winter program?
The winter program's on the same exact campus.
You're kidding.
You know,
it's in New Hampshire.
No, yes, in New Hampshire.
Well,
same exact campus.
Well, how long is the winter program?
As soon as the summer program ends, that's pretty much when the winter program starts. And then when the summer program starts is when the winter program ends. All the kids from the winter program go to the summer program.
So do you go to school there?
Yeah, you live there all year.
Oh, Jesus.
You go home on weekends if your parents want you to come home, if that's the type of situation you're in. Otherwise, you go home on the weekends. But then you got to have all the group therapy on Sunday, which takes your family forever. And then you got to talk about everything.
You have the group therapy with your family.
Exactly. And then they talk about anything and everything.
Now, this is with the other campers and other families.
Not necessarily. When you come back on Sunday, you'd go in and you'd have to talk to your counselor and you have to do this and that, you know, and you'd have to talk to them. And then you have to check in with your group. And then after you check in with your group, you got to have group therapy at night. And then you do your chores, blah, 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 you know.
How old were you when you attended Wadiko?
I'm 19 now. I was there 98, 99. Oh, man.
Let me do the math. Okay.
Yeah, you do the math.
I'm about to do the math. That was 98.
Neither am I.
98 was 6 years ago, so you were like 13 and, what, 14?
Somewhere in there, yeah.
Yeah. So were you like in the – I was in like the they had these different bunks. I don't know what the hell
yeah.
they called. And I was like in the oldest one. The oldest.
Yeah, I was.
You were like the oldest, or like the next to the oldest.
They had four. They had four different groups for the winter program when I was there. They had explorers, which was the youngest group, which I was in the first year I was there.
How old? Yeah. Okay.
What?
You were about 13 or 14 then. Right?
Yeah, somewhere in there. I was at the younger end of it, and I was in the explorer end. You know, and that's all the younger kids. There was anything from sexually assaulted kids all the way to just plain neurotic ADD kids, you know?
Yeah.
And then there was the next one up, which was the Pioneers, which was ranging from, I guess, 14 to, I'd say, 16. And then there was the Navigators, which was the next one up, which was pretty much 16 to 18. And then they had the And then they had Pilots, which there was... They had their own keys to their own room, but they weren't allowed to leave the campus. You know, they'd have their own room below the Pioneers, which was the upper stairs was the dormitory for them, and below that would be their area, and they pretty much ran their own everything, you know, while they were there. If they did anything wrong, the cops were called immediately. And that's how that rolled. Doors were constantly locked. If you were in your dormitory, if you went outside the door, you were automatically locked out, and you had to wait for a staff member to let you back in. After a certain time, it was lights out. You couldn't turn your light back on. Usually, one staff member would stay over the night in each dorm, but it wasn't that good.
It sounds militant.
It is.
Yeah.
It's kind of, it's exactly what it is, pretty much, I personally think, you know.
Did they take you out on the weekends?
No, they didn't. You went home on the weekends usually.
Oh, right.
Luckily, my mom was involved constantly, and when I got in trouble, I'd sneak out of my dormitory, and I'd call my mom up. My mom would be there in a half hour, and she'd take care of the whole situation, because if she didn't come, they'd either have me restrained or something like that for something stupid.
What would happen when they would restrain you?
They put me in the basket hold. You know what the basket hold is? Is when they put one arm around you.
Yeah.
Good, they put the other arm under me.
Yeah.
What?
So our listeners know exactly what that is. Could you explain that again?
It's the basket hold is when they take one arm, like your left arm.
Yeah.
They take that and pull it over to your right side, hold that arm. Then they take the opposite arm, your right arm, and put your elbow underneath that other elbow. So your left elbow is underneath your right elbow, and then they pull the left arm over to the opposite side, yeah. You know, or whatever,
it's,
you know. And then they,
yeah.
What?
It's like they're crisscrossing your arms.
Yeah.
Around
and then
your chest or something.
Yeah, and then they lock your arms so you can't just sneak by going down, you know.
Yeah.
And what else? I'm trying to think of all the things that happened to me there.
But I want to know, just so my listeners will know, I want to clarify. What is the reason for restraining people? Do they give a reason? I think they're only supposed to do this kind of thing if people are violent to others or themselves.
But in my experience,
they would just do it for me if I complained.
Exactly, and they do that, too.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, if you wouldn't participate in group therapy sometimes, you know, they'd totally restrain you.
They would restrain you for not participating in group therapy. Well,
yeah,
that sounds really fucking abusive.
It does.
That does not sound right.
It isn't, seriously.
Well, tell me some more. You were going to tell me some more about...
I kind of lost train of thought. As we talk, I'll just continue off
okay.
to my own things,
All
too.
Right. Okay. Well, you know, I just want to say, like once I remember, I was like in the rec. What do they call that?
Ames Hall.
Is that what you know? That big damn thing played.
Yeah, the big thing on the right hand side, right after the lake. Yeah, Ames Hall.
And I was complaining about the cereal, and the counselor, he like took me by the wrist, and just like. Dragged me out of there, you know. He just like manhandled me out of there, and he says, you know, wait here.
Right out onto the porch.
Right, and I just ran away, you know.
But, yeah, I did that too all the time. They wouldn't give you, if you wanted a snack at night, they usually wouldn't give you snacks, so me and a bunch of buddies, you know, we all went and robbed Ames Hall one night, hell yeah, you know. We had to, it was our thing, but we got busted, and we got OC'd all night. The rest of the night, like four of us, we all got put in all our different rooms, and we were all there the rest of the night.
Right.
Yeah, it was awful. During the summer, actually, one of the summers I was there, the first summer I was there, me and my mom had a conversation about how bad it was there, and they wouldn't exactly take me out of there because they didn't want me to leave, you know. And the school district I was in was like, you know, he's got to be there, blah, 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 and really I didn't.
So you're saying that you were forced by both the school and Wadiko to be there. I mean, the question is, did your mother want you out of there?
Yes, she did, actually. Yes. She got me out of there as soon as she could. But at the same time, that summer that I was there, I was in the Orion bunk, whatever it was at that time, you know. And I was swimming, and I was on the day program. I'd go home every day for that summer because I was like, I'm not doing this. Actually, it was my second summer because my first summer I did stay there. But my second summer I was there, I was in the day program, and I was swimming, and my time was to leave, you know, and I was playing in the sand after I was swimming, you know, so it was all sandy.
Yeah.
I asked my staff members, you know, can I go back in the water because I'm all sandy? No, you cannot go back in the water. So I went back in the water anyways, you know,
yep.
to rinse off the sand, you know, because
right.
who likes sand all over them? No one.
Right.
So I went in, I rinsed off the sand. As I get out of the water, one staff member tackles me, okay? Then another staff member comes and helps that one. In the end, it was like four staff members. I was in a hole on the ground in the sand, face down, okay, for like,
yeah.
I don't know, 2 hours. My mom's waiting this whole time on that main strip you're talking about.
Right,
she's parked
right,
the car,
right,
you know.
Right.
And she gets out of the car, you know, and asks somebody, you know, just walking around, hey, have you seen this kid, you know, my kid, Kyle Bishop? She's like, you know, or the staff member's like, yeah, actually, I saw him down on the beach, you know. Well, she goes walking around down on the first beach that you see when you come in. I'm not there, okay? She's like, okay, you know, whatever. She walks around the trails, goes around a Sheep's Head Rock, which is a rock that kids fish off of. But then I still wasn't there, you know. So she keeps walking, goes down to the back beach, you know. She sees me right there in the sand being held down by these staff members. I'm crying. I'm trying to get out of this. I'm crying at this point, bawling my eyes out. And she had to go over and yell at them to get them off me. And she tried getting me out that day, and it wasn't going to happen. I had to stay the rest of that summer. In the end, I had to get taken out and put in an alternative school in my school district, and then I had to drop out to be able to go back to a regular school.
Right. Man, I mean, it's like, I don't think people, like, everyone will believe this, but it's hard to believe that this shit actually happens.
It does.
And I've seen it. I've experienced it myself, and it's like, And here we have the state, you know, the Congress in Massachusetts, and Mayor Menino, the mayor of Massachusetts, giving these people awards.
And they really don't deserve them.
Right. What they probably deserve is like criminal penalties. Okay.
Yeah, somebody needs to go and investigate that personally.
I think so too.
Somebody that, you know, like a kid needs to bring like a freaking miniature camera that all summer and all winter, you know, has to have a miniature camera on him, you know, that records everything and not be able to tell anybody, and then show that freaking tape to the freaking news to prove what goes on there.
Now, I think, I think you know, it's good that like people like you and me are coming forward, and you know, now they're at least, I don't have a lot of power, I don't have a lot of listeners, but I don't know, maybe something eventually will be done about these people. I don't know what
I hope so.
It's hard to believe. I was there 25 years ago. It's hard to believe this shit is still going on.
You know? And that essay you wrote is totally 100% accurate. Seriously.
Yeah. Yeah,
I read it, and I was actually searching it because I was gonna, you know, I was gonna go work there just to, you know, because to help the kids that are there and be like, right, you know, I don't care what you do because, you know, I was here. I know what it was like.
I don't think they would hire you because they want
because
someone
I went
that,
there.
They want someone that's cruel.
No, they actually, I applied there and I applied and everything online. I got denied because I went to school there. Because I know how it works there, and they denied me because of that. As soon as they found out that I went to school there, they were like, you cannot work here. You went to school here.
Yeah.
So they were totally against it.
You know, and yeah, that's potentially grounds for discrimination. I don't know.
It is total discrimination because they're trying, you know, I wanted to help the kids that are there because I know what
you're
they're going
through.
You're
qualified to help these kids because you know what they're going through.
Exactly. I know what they're going through because I went through it going to school there. You know, I tried applying there to be able to help them, and they were all willing to hire me until they found out that I went to school there. As soon as they found out that I went to school there, they were like, no.
Tell me, is Harry still running the place?
I seriously don't know.
This Harry Parade, P-A-R-A-D, I see him on the website. It's like exactly.
Then he's still running it.
Yeah, I see his name. I remember Harry, at least the guy that was, I don't remember the last name, but there was a guy there called Harry that was running the place when I was there.
Yeah, that's the summer coordinator.
Oh.
Or it was. The guy who I had was Joe something. He's on the website somewhere, and Dolores Kane.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's Dennis Calcutt. Dennis Calcutt, he's an abusive guy, personally. I've different experiences I've had with him. It's just not very good. Like one personal experience that I had with him, I was in getting counseling because I came back for a Sunday, you know, and he was in there because I was allegedly bad or something, you know, for something stupid. And he called me a liar straight to my face, you know, and my mom was sitting right there, and she's like, you don't call him a liar to his face, you know, right here in front of me, too.
Right.
And I got pissed about it, you know, and I kicked the table across the room, you know, just barely, you know. It wasn't even really kicking it across the room.
Yeah.
I kind of pushed it across the room with my feet, you know, it slid across the room. And he got up to restrain me, and my mom was like, hell no. And then different experiences I had with him. different stupid things that happened, he's restrained me, and he doesn't care what the kids say. You know, you say you're hurting him, he doesn't care. Then the Joe guy, you know, that runs the summer or the winter program, his name's on the website somewhere. It's Joe, I can't remember his last name. But anyways, Joe, when he restrains it, he's the same exact way.
The website is wadigo.org. If anyone wants to find that out, they can just go to the website. It's listed there. You go on. I'm sorry.
Okay, it's all good. Well, anyways, he restrained me, and no matter what, you tell them that you're hurt, you're getting hurt by them, and they don't care. They'll still do what they're doing, no matter what. And they, seriously, they don't care about what the kids say. No, it can be as little as, you know, you're pinching my hand, or to the point where, you know, you're almost breaking my arm. And they're just like, we don't care about it.
Yeah. There really is abuses going on there, and I don't know what to say. I don't know what to do.
There isn't much we can do because everybody's giving them awards. They look like such a good freaking person, but they're not nothing good, because if you went there or you've seen what goes on there, you'd understand, you know.
I mean,
but it's
you know,
wrong.
The winter program, as you're describing, it sounds even worse than the summer program.
It is, in a way, seriously, because you... Okay, I'm going to just describe a day on how it goes, okay? You have a point...
There's no hall there, or OC, or whatever you're calling it.
Yeah, it's like a hall, pretty much, exactly. But anyways...
Boy, you're going to describe it like a day.
Okay. So, you'd get up in the morning, or you'd come in on Sunday, okay? If your parents took you home, if it weren't, you know, if anything wasn't, you know, you'd come in on Sunday, you'd have your group therapy... And not your group therapy, but your family therapy. With whoever came in, you'd have your therapy with them. And then you'd go to your dorm or whatever. They'd look through your stuff to make sure you don't got nothing profound, you know, no porn, no nothing. Anything that described anything horrible, and they'd confiscate it right away. Gone.
Right, they, you know, these people, you know, my friend drew like just a drawing of like naked women. It was just drawing a pencil, and they confiscated it.
Yeah, I had a buddy named Joey that did that during the winter program. Yeah. He was an awesome artist, and they discouraged him from being an artist because they'd take away his drawings for being the stupidest thing. He wouldn't even draw anything profound in it. He'd draw them clothed and everything.
Yeah, God forbid, you draw a woman, you know.
Yeah, exactly, and they take it away. But anyways, going on about the schedule there, they'd bring you in, you'd get brought in on Sunday, you'd do your therapy, and then you'd go to your dorm, they'd search your stuff. You'd go to your room, you know,
they
you get all settled in.
Stuff.
Yep, they search your stuff.
Yep.
They go through anything you bring in, you know, and then you get to your dormitory, and then I'd say around 7 or 8 at night, you know, they do the group therapy with the entire dorm, you know, they go over how's your weekend, how's this, how's that,
I remember a lot of group therapy.
Oh, yeah, there's an extreme lot of group therapy. There's too much of it going on.
Yeah.
But then you get that over with, then, you know, you go to bed, and then... They'd even have staff members giving you back rubs and everything, you know. I don't think that's
back
right.
Back rubs?
Yeah, back rubs, neck rubs, feet rubs, anything. Then from there, you know, you can go to bed, you know, you have lights out. You can't get up and go to the bathroom.
Could you say, I don't feel like a back rub?
Yeah, you can deny it, but, you know, some of the kids were like, you know, I want, you know. And
Some people,
Yeah. Okay, then you'd go to bed, you know, you'd wake up in the morning.
Could you go to the bathroom if you wanted?
Oh, yeah, you could go to the bathroom if you wanted to, but, you know, whatever. But, what else? I'm trying to think about it.
Could you smoke if you want to? I remember that there was... Could you smoke at all now? Or?
Nope.
No. See, back then...
Not at all.
Back then, they would... I didn't smoke then, but they had, like, you know...
Yeah, that's back when the law was different, though, too.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because think about it. Back 20 years ago, when you were a kid, they didn't really have smoking as bad as they do now.
Well, they had like you could smoke like 5 times a day, and
they don't have that at all.
So
no matter what age you were,
you couldn't smoke at all.
No.
Well, I mean, I guess like the kids are under 18, so technically they have a right not to let them smoke.
Exactly, but even the ones that were over 18 or 18 could not smoke. They wouldn't let them.
Right.
But then you,
did they smoke?
Staff members? Oh yeah, they came in smelling like smoke all the time. They couple of them on occasion smelled like alcohol because they were drinking the night before and they had a hungover.
Talking about alcohol, I remember, I didn't see this personally, but some people, because I worked in the cafeteria, some people found some like empty wine bottles.
Oh yeah, I'd find them all the time. Actually, we'd come back from the weekend, or if everybody went home for like a vacation or something,
yeah.
You know, they'd be everywhere, all over the campus.
Right.
Beer bottles, fucking beer cans,
right.
Everything. And well, anyways, so we'd get back. You know, you'd wake up the next day. You'd have to. What would you have to do? We'd have to get dressed, you know, make our beds, you know, clean our room a little bit, and then we'd go off to school. After during school, you'd have to do whatever classroom you were assigned to, you know. It wasn't really as one-on-one as they proclaim about it, you know. They had, like, one teacher and, like, two aides to a class of, like, I don't know, 12 to, like, 20.
Mm-hmm.
Unless you were in a special classroom, which was requested by my mom and made in my IEP and everything, by a lawyer and everything, so I had to be actually one-on-one. But anyways, you'd go through school, you know, you'd get a little bit of homework or however much they wanted to give you. You'd get back to your dormitory, and if you didn't do your homework, you were pretty much grounded the rest of the night, which wasn't really, you know, the best, you know, of an idea. They didn't really have that much of an incentive to do that stuff. Then you'd have chores to do, which was pretty much do everything in the place.
Mm-hmm.
Each kid would be assigned to their own thing. Then probably, I think it was supper, and it was all on a point system. So if you didn't do your thing, you got your points taken away. And the point system was towards, I think it was every Thursday you'd go out and do something. But,
yeah.
You know, it really wasn't even worth it because it was just stupid shit, you know.
Like what? What, did they take you to a PG movie?
Yeah, they take you to the stupid stuff, yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. I remember that.
Yeah. Well, then you'd do that, and then you'd have group therapy again that night, you know. If you didn't participate in that, you'd lose even more points. Or you'd get different things happening to you. You'd get yelled at for stupid shit. I'm trying to think. It's been a little while since I've done that. Sometimes you get taken out by one of your counselors, and you have to have one-on-one therapy. Can't think of everything.
You know, I want to just say, like, something about all the restraining that goes on and all the overkill. You know, if you take it, like, this is, like, basic, you know, course in behaviorism in college. This is just, like, behaviorism 101. You learn that, you know, that sometimes you know, behavior you don't want, okay, you're actually reinforcing, okay?
They are, because
that's what was,
Yeah, they're showing you that bad behavior is a good thing because they're doing it to you in a way, you know? They're restraining you and showing you aggression by restraining you instead of using positive reinforcement to get you to be positive.
They're trying
to use negative to get you to be positive, and it ain't going to work.
What's going on is that people are actually being reinforced for being punished. That's what I think is going on, for being restrained. That's why there's just so much of it. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, they hire, like, I was searching online about WDECO and stuff, and they have it at, like, every college on, you know, in the U.S. A different college, you know, has a different part of their site devoted to trying to get people to work there. They're hiring people for, you know, they want to be into social services and stuff, and they're teaching them people that this is what you got to do to kids. I don't think that's right, because then somebody later on down the road will say, like, 5 years down the road, they graduate college, you know, and they go into, like, social services, you know, for kids, you know, like DCYF type deal. And
what
then
does that stand for?
DCYF, Detentional Youth Services, something. You know, it's something like that. It's something in New Hampshire.
Right.
Is DCYF or something like that. But I never went there. It's like kid jail.
Yeah.
But anyways, you get somebody working for that, and then they think, you know, all kids are bad and that's how you need to treat them. You need to treat them with the most aggression possible.
It's a prisoner. It's like a jail warden mentality. I just want to say, like, a story I remember there was this counselor, and she was like, you know, I was with my friend. She was like, you know, when you get to this kitty jail or whatever, I don't know remember what it's called, but she says, I'm going to put in a word for you so that they'll be extra tough on you when you get there, okay? I mean, so she just thought of us as like, you know, punk kids, you know, like,
yeah, exactly.
we're gonna commit crimes. I can't talk about my friend. I don't talk to him anymore, but I haven't committed a crime in my life, okay? But they look upon you as, you know, you're like if a criminal in the making, and that's the way they treat you.
Yeah, and if, okay, here's a great thing that I thought about when I was there, is that if the staff members ever did anything wrong to you, you couldn't press charges on them. But you even,
I should have said something at the time because I probably had assault and battery against a minor charge against them.
Yeah, but you think you can do that to them while you're there? Well, they don't. It's not allowed.
Not while you're there.
But all the staff members can press charges on you while you're there for the smallest little thing. You can kick a staff member in the leg because they're trying to restrain you and you're trying to get away. So you kick them in the leg. You know, they press charges on you for that. But they almost break your arm and give you bruises on your arm for restraining you. But you could not press charges on them for that.
Yeah, it's, you know. And it's like the society lets this shit happen because they think that, you know, this place is actually helping children.
But they're not. They're making kids worse by doing
that. They are making kids worse. They're making them, you know, that summer I spent there was just miserable. It didn't help me. It just made me pissed off and angry.
That's the place, actually, I learned to swear at, to be serious. I was never really vulgar or anything before I went there, but as soon as, after I left there, vulgarity.
Anyone would be vulgar after going to that place.
It was the worst thing I've ever actually had happen to me, seriously. I wish that part of my life never happened because it was that bad.
I feel the same way. I just want to forget it.
But you can't because it's just that bad.
I know. And you know, I can't imagine. I went through only a summer. I can't imagine going there for how much. You went there for 2 years?
I went there for 2 years, yeah. I had two winters and two summers.
This is unbelievable.
The first winter, my mom wasn't as involved as she was. And, I got some even better part. You know, while I was there, they had a doctor there, you know.
Yeah.
The doctor would prescribe, you know, whatever medication he thought you had, you know. Well, I diagnosed with ADD and all that other things, and I was on more medication than I could ever think of.
Yeah.
And it was, I don't know, I think at the most I went on was like 6 medications, and it was all because he kept thinking something different was wrong with me. And there were side effects from some of the medications.
When did you get speed?
I had Ritalin, I had Adderall, I had, can't remember all of them, Wellbutrin, all kinds of them. And they were like hardcore shit that people would buy on the streets, you know, just because, you know, that it's like speed. And they give it to the kids, you know, and trying to get the kids better, but really they're making the kids worse because they're giving all these things to the kids, and they're thinking, you know, hey, this will do this and this will do this, but really it's doing a total opposite, and they're like, durr about it, because they're, you know, and it's just one doctor for all them kids on that campus at the time,
right,
during the winter. You've got, what, 4 dormitories and one doctor,
approximately,
you know, and, he's only there one day a week.
Approximately how many kids?
There was like, I don't know, 12 to 14 per dorm, depending on the dorm, you know. Explorers had like 12, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, about 20 to 22 in another dorm, the Pioneers, and then probably, I don't know, I'd say 10 in the Pilots, and then probably about, I don't know, about the same, like 20 in the somewhat older, not the oldest group. And they'd seriously only have one doctor there one day a week.
So you weren't happy with the way you were medicated?
No, not at all, because the way they medicated me was just on assumption on what the staff members said. You know, it was totally...
Oh, so you're saying you didn't talk to the doctor?
Oh, I talked to the doctor, but the doctor didn't even listen to me, really. He wouldn't even listen to my mom at certain points, you know. He was just like, you know, this is what I think, and blah, 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 and, like, that ain't even how it is.
Do you remember his name?
Not off the top of my head.
Okay. No biggie.
It's no biggie, but if I remember it
I was
in the conversation, I'll blurt it out.
Yeah. Right. Okay. Yeah, I'm going to... This is something I wanted to ask you about. This is sort of a lightweight question. But,
no problem.
I remember there was, like, a lot of leeches in that lake. Did you ever, like, see anyone get, like, a leech clamped to them?
Actually, yeah, too. The pond was called, Black Pond or Black Lake or something. And it was black because of all the logging that was done allegedly during the fucking 1800s.
I didn't know that.
That's why it was black and everything. But I think, you know, it was just all muck and everything at the bottom. Yeah. If you went swimming on certain days, you know, you could see the leeches swimming in the water in front of you, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm serious.
I told you, when you get in there, don't stop. Keep moving and you'll be okay. But I don't know if that always works. But
no, it doesn't.
Oh,
I've seen a couple of my friends with them on them, you know, and the staff members were like, oh, you know, that's nothing, and they pulled them off, and, you know,
they
acted like it was absolutely nothing.
There was always like a bottle of salt, container of salt nearby on the shore.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they just, I don't know, rub the salt in, and the leech would fall off. But, I remember, like, a few years ago, they advertised the lake as being, you know, one of the features of the place, but that was sort of, like, the swimming was terrible, man. And sometimes,
it was.
And, you know, you have to, like, wash off. That's how you would, like, you know.
Yeah, it was like, it's kind of slimy water, but not really, you know. It was like you get a gross feeling. Let me think of it. I'm trying to think of a feeling you get. Like, if you ever rub your hand through algae type feeling.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Slimy. Yeah.
I think it was the great thing down there, too, was if you ever went down the back hills, you know, past, you know, and down to the fields that they had down in the back area towards, I don't know where it's toward. It's just off in the back far left corner of their area of land that they have. You went down into the first field, you know, that's where you'd play soccer and everything, and then
there
would be and then there was another field past that, and then the road that you were walking on there off to the right, and they had a pond called Dookie Pond.
I didn't know about that.
Dookie Pond was their septic system. During the summer, both ponds would be full, and they'd be totally exposed, and the kids would walk right by them. You know, and they acted like it was absolutely nothing. You know, during the winter, it was only one of them that was full because not all the sewers went to them, you know.
Yeah.
But during the summer, yeah, there was two full ponds. And then if you walked up that road a little more, you'd come to the archery area, you know, that would be off to the left. And then off to the right-hand side, there'd be like a swamp area, and they'd let kids just play in the swamp like it was nothing. It was nasty.
Yeah, I'm serious.
They were like,
You should write a book. I Survived with Deco.
I know, right? That'd be like the awesomest book. It'd probably be a great seller to all the kids that ever went there. They found the book, they'd buy the book.
Right.
They'd read it just to see what was written.
Absolutely, man. I mean, you really knew the place a lot more than I did.
I went there during the winter, you know?
Oh, I can't imagine going there during the winter.
That was horrible.
God.
I'm trying to think of all the other things that I've had happen there. What else? Oh, I got another good one. Okay.
Yeah.
They have a playground there. It's a big wooden playground and everything. You probably know what I'm talking about. It's after your time.
Trying to remember.
They have a picture of the playground on the internet. Just a brief photo. It might be a background or something, but it's a wooden playground.
Yeah.
Anyways, across the street from that's a big area of woods. I don't know if it's still there or not, but we'd always go out and play tag in there. And I was playing tag one night, and I gashed my knee open, and it was a pretty bad gash. I still have the scar, and, you know, my knee's screwed up from it. But, you know, I got the gash in my leg, you know, and they called the nurse. The nurse took forever to get there because she was at her house, you know. And she finally gets there, you know. And I should have went to the hospital. All they did was butterfly my knee. It was like, I don't know, it was like 2 inches, and you could see down into, like, the kneecap, into the bone area. I'm totally serious. I have the scar from it still.
So it sounded like you definitely needed stitches.
Oh, I needed stitches. I'm swearing by it. I needed stitches. My mom even seen it afterwards, and she's like, whoa. You know, and by then it was already healed, you know, a little bit, and it couldn't really do anything about it. It was just healing the way it was.
Yeah, I mean, but, you could heal, but it leaves a scar, you know.
Yeah, horrible.
You're lucky it didn't get infected.
Actually, I think it did a little bit. It was turning, like, nasty and everything, and they just cleaned it out with antibiotics and told me it was nothing and blah, blah, blah. And I totally didn't love the whole situation.
Yeah. It's just, you know, I don't know. It's like these people hate children. I don't know any other explanation.
They make profit off the kid. Just, you know, they send them there, you know, and they just pretty much throw them in jail is what they're doing, and they're making a profit off of it, saying, you know, it's a non-profit organization. But you see everybody driving a nice new car or whatever, you know, all the people who run the place, and then, you know, what the hell is that? That's, I don't see that as anything nice.
Yeah.
They, you know, and then they'd say, you know, we have, you know, bikes and everything for the kids that, you know, that are here, bows and arrows, you know, for the summer program and all this other nice stuff.
I never shot a bow and arrow in my life there.
No, they had them when I was there during the summer.
Oh.
But they all this stuff, you know, it was all beat down stuff, you know.
Right.
The bikes, only they had like, I don't know, 30 bikes when I was there, and only like 10 of them would work. And the weight equipment that they had that was allegedly, you know, nice, it was all chintzy, cheap out, you know, duct taped up and shit. What else? The bows and arrows, half of them didn't work. You know, you had to pick out the right one, because if you didn't pick out the right one, the whole string was all frayed and just different stuff. It was just, you know, awful. And then they had, you know, kids would be shooting off bows and arrows, and they had bike trails, you know. So when you did get on the bike, they have these bike trails that you could ride on. And half of them went out in the woods. Well, you'd take certain ones, and you'd go right out behind the bows and arrows and stuff while they were shooting them. You know, they have a net there, but what the hell's that net going to do if a freaking arrow goes right through it? You know, you'd be riding your bike, and you'd see them be shooting them, and it's like, whoa.
I tell you, the place has to be seen. It's got to investigated.
It seriously does.
Because I know that probably a lot of people are thinking, no, it can't be that bad. But I'm telling you, I believe this guy, because this place is insane.
It is. I wish that other people would actually come out and talk to you about this and have more, you know, talk more about it and their experiences.
You know something, Carl? I was thinking, see, I know I just don't have the fucking energy, but I was thinking of like, maybe telling the Globe about, you know, Boston Globe about it. But thing is, I don't really like feel like talking to anyone about this, you know?
Yeah, because it's, you know, you tell somebody about it, and then they're gonna know about it that you went there, and they're gonna look down on you because you know you're trying to put down. No, you're gonna put down a place that everybody thinks is so good. Well, it ain't that good, you know. That you're trying to put down a place, you know, that's got all these awards and looks all this good because they take care of all these kids, but really they're not even taking care of these kids, and it's just it's horrible for these kids.
Well, I'll tell you what,
it's not right.
I'll tell you what I do. Maybe. I don't know. I really don't know what to do about this. You know what I should do is email Harry and give him a link to you know, the website, and ask him to go on. At least give him the opportunity to go on. To, you know,
I'm almost willing to bet he wouldn't go on.
I'm sure
he knows how it's ran,
sure,
and he wouldn't want people to know how it's actually done.
But this is what boggles my mind about Harry is, because I met Harry, and he seemed like a nice guy, you know. And I can't understand why a guy like that could run such an evil institution.
Yeah, I know. It's just not right.
You know, so I don't know. I'll give Harry an email, and I'll see what he has to say. That's what I'll do. You know, at least it will show that I'm trying to work, you know, with the system to try to get them to change. Beyond that, you know, I only have so much energy, you know, I can't really be like...
You can only do so much.
Yeah, I mean, I do a weekly radio show. I'm not like a political activist. So,
Your shows are pretty interesting. I've listened to a couple of them, and I like them so far.
Well, thank you. The last one was just terrible, man. That was a nightmare. I probably sounded like a psycho.
No, not too bad.
I was just so angry because of that minimum wage, that the minimum wage bill got killed.
Yeah.
It's affecting people like you.
Yeah.
I mean, you could have gotten a nice raise.
But it ain't going to happen now.
Something, a well-deserved raise.
Yeah.
Okay. But no, it ain't going to happen. I don't know.
But I don't know what to do about the whole Eco thing because, you know, nobody's gonna look at anything about it because they think it's such a good place. Well, it ain't the place everybody thinks it's cracked
up. Look, I got you on the record, okay? We have testimony from me and you. We have something on the record, and I'll see what I can do. But I'm really not counting. I don't really think that because I have no power. I don't have, you know, I get like maybe 50 listeners a week. So it's no real power. So
no, but the little bit amount of people that you do get, hopefully they spread word, you know, you got to listen to this.
Well, I will try to expose them with Eco to the best of my ability. Now that you've talked about all this, I feel like it's even more important to do this because, you know, they're making all these poor kids miserable.
Yeah, they say it's the lower end families of Boston and the bad kids and this and that, and they're trying to better their lives and they're just making them worse in the end.
No, I can't see how they could make anyone's lives better at that camp. It's just...
No, I don't either.
It's just a terrible, miserable experience. I can't articulate how awful it is. I just... You know, you have to be there. That's the only way to do it.
Seriously, you got to see how it's ran. And to be an adult there, you ain't going to see all of what's going on. You'll see a little bit. You'll see the top layer of the whole thing. But that's like a wedding cake. There's many layers to it. You got to really get into it to be able to see everything, you know?
Well, I just wanted to say one more thing. Like 5 years ago, I wrote that article, that essay on that website about, I don't know, 10 years ago. That was a Fruitcake Outlet, by the way. Fruitcakeoutlet.com. But it was just an essay. It's my personal website. It's an essay I put there about Wadiko. But a counselor at Radico wrote me, an email similar to one you wrote me, confirming that all that shit happened. That it's still like that. And I said, look, why don't you go on the record, you know? Let me publish your email. But he declined.
Out of all the counselors that I was ever there with, there was like only one that was really even positive about anything. And she left because of the situation there. She was like the really coolest counselor there. She would never restrain me. She would never restrain anybody else. She was against it.
You shouldn't restrain people unless there's a good reason for it.
Exactly, and that's how she was.
Yeah, you should only restrain, the whole purpose of restraining something is to stop them from doing something violent. That's all.
Exactly. And it was more than just the violent part. They were going for, you know, it's the smallest thing, you know. They're just going off. Everybody there, they're just wrong.
I think that it was more than punishment. I think that they enjoyed it. I think it gave them a sense of power.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, I don't know. Do you have anything more to say? Because I got to wrap this up soon.
Okay.
do you have anything more to say? Go ahead.
I'm pretty good. I pretty much voiced my opinion.
Okay. I think you did.
If you have any other questions, I'm sure to answer them.
No, I think...
If anybody else wants to email me, you can put my email on your site if you want. You have it. If anybody needs to ask me any questions, I'm free.
They can contact... they can go to my website. They want to contact you, and I'll hold on to your email address.
Okay.
Okay, and I'll let you know. Okay.
Well, no problem.
Believe me.
Forward their emails to me. I don't mind.
Or you could just say your email address here, whatever. You know, I don't know.
It's dragonsphere_GOOROO_2000@yahoo.com.
Okay. Repeat that one more time so in case anyone missed it the first time.
Okay. Dragon, as in the monster, DRAGON. Sphere, as in like a ball, SPHERE. The underscore, guru, GOOROO, the underscore again, and then the year 2000, @yahoo.com.
Okay, thank you. But anything, any correspondence I get about with Deco, I will definitely share with you.
No problem. I'm totally free to talk about any of my experiences there to confirm to people, because, you know, they need to be exposed on how bad it really is there.
That's great, man. I'm, you know, you really have balls. You know, I often ask people to do shows with me on, you know, controversial subjects. You know, I want people to.
That's why we have a right of free speech. You know,
right.
If somebody wants to tell something, it needs to be said.
Most people live in fear. And no one.
Why live in fear? You know,
I know.
If you're going to live in fear, then what's the point?
There's no point, as I said.
No, there's
no.
You need to be able to voice your opinion on something like this. This is a serious thing. You know, they should not be. I call it abuse personally. They should not be abusing the kid, and that's what they're doing.
I agree. Okay. It's been really great. Thank you very much, Kyle. Don't hang up yet. Let me just stop recording.
This show is a copyrighted broadcast of the TalkWarrior.com radio network. It may be retransmitted, provided that it is not altered or excerpted in any way.